Stand with me if you could for the gospel reading. I'm going to be naughty and use my version because I can read my writing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, starting at the 34th verse. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is the gospel of Christ. Take a seat. Father, we pray, come. Lift our minds and our hearts. Lord, we pray for a biddable spirit today. Lord, that we give you permission to search those parts of our lives, Lord, that you want to awaken. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hi. Just in case you're new and you're wondering who the heck I am, my name is Fraser. I'm the pastor here, the vicar. Some people call me Father. I always feel uncomfortable with that, but it's great if you want to call me that. That's fantastic. But I'm here, and we're here looking at the whole area of worship. I said last week that worship is very difficult to teach on because it's more caught than taught. But unless we understand with our minds, we cannot inform our hearts and our spirits. So let us put some effort and energy into learning. Teenagers, put your phones down and listen up. Because if you learn this lesson now, your life will be transformed. I can promise you, your life will be transformed. This is a series on worship. The subtitle is Gaining a Life of Glorious Surrender. Now, surrender's not cool. Oh, by the way, if you are primary school age and you're not making notes on my sermon and want an activity pack, Paul has an activity pack at the back for you. You're welcome to go off and do that. Before you check out of, oh, no, worship, this is just for those guys that like playing guitars and banging drums that are always far too loud. And they really don't know what's happening. Guys, don't check out. Because this is really, really important for your life to flourish. Don't think that this is just a specialty of those who sing like nightingales because you sing like a crow. Don't even think about that. Don't go there. Don't give your soul permission to exit the building. Become present, friends. If you don't get that singing stuff, that's okay, because our life is all about worship. We defined worship last week as determining those things that have value to us and then forming our choices around them. Whatever it is, you and I are made as worshipers. So whatever choice you make actually informs the thing that you worship. It expresses the overflow of how we live. You might say, oh, I love Jesus. He's the top priority in my life. But if your life does not look like that, the Lord knows the secrets of the heart. If Sundays are a day of joy to go and chill, rethink. But Sundays are not just the day of worship. Sundays are the pinnacle in which we gather all our worshipful lives and come back in one explosive expression of thanksgiving to the one who's redeemed us. Worship is all around us. It's through the choices that we make. Our music is an external expression of an internal condition. I'll tell you why. How many people have broken up with a boyfriend or girlfriend at some point in your life and have that breakup song that you go to? someone has written something that just goes, yeah, he knows how I'm feeling, or she knows, or maybe there's that time in your life where there's been an utter triumph. Maybe you've had a magical summer and you had one cassette or CD that was in the car, and that typified that time. And every time you hear it, it brings you back to that. Because music is the fuel of the soul. It's the way we express ourselves. Most of you at some point, and I do, just to let you know, but don't picture this, I sing in the shower. It's not a pretty sight, but the voice is beautiful to the Lord. I sing. Some of us whistle. Music is part of who we are. It's deep within our culture, but worship is the most contested area in the life of the human soul. Who will you worship today is the question that God asks every day. And as I said last week, there are four areas, really, that are a human soul contested, but there are more, but the major ones are this. Who you worship and what you worship. Where your money goes and does it go to the glory of God. Prayer. And something else. And evangelism. All of them, we think, are the business of other people who are better at than us. But it's a lie of the enemy. We're called to be excellent in all of them. It's a contest in our soul for who we worship. So we are worshipers. So for instance, look at this. I took this. This is a photograph I took a couple of years back down by Dressmart. There is a fragrance called Worship. And apparently, it is your daily shot of youth. What are we worshipping? We're worshipping longevity and beauty in ourselves. We're being drawn by society to worship something, aren't we? Of course we are. Now why, guys, does worship matter? Why am I talking about it? Why does it matter? Well, as I said, we're worshippers, but do you know it's deeper and more full than actually I had first thought. I thought we were just going to speak three times. Friends, you're going to be so excited that I'm speaking seven times on worship. Different stuff. So don't check in and check out because you'll miss stuff. But every time I'm looking at it, each time I look at the scriptures, my heart burns with a passion that the church rediscover the true calling to worship God. It's not about being cool. It's about being surrendered. Why does it matter? First of all, God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy. Amen? It's the way we've been created is to worship. If we don't worship God, we will worship something else. It just happens that way. I'll say it again. Teenagers, children, get this right. Learn to surrender. Learn to forget what your person beside you is saying or doing. And learn to focus on God and give Him everything. And I tell you, your life will change in a favorable direction. Favor will follow you as you honor the Lord. Our lives wrap around what we worship. It consumes our thinking. Oh, is the batch all right? Maybe I need to sort this and that out. Is my business fine? I'm being consumed by this. Is my reputation? What's happening? And all of a sudden we focus our lives around and we found actually we become wrapped in a skin that is not a skin that God has given us. We need to right our worship because God is worthy. Joshua 24:15. Joshua at the end of his life was speaking to all of Israel and he said to Israel this, and parents and adults, to anybody who's younger than you, this is the ultimate statement that we must belong to and declare and challenge others. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Did you notice how Joshua took ownership over his household? Bob Dylan, you've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. God is the only one truly worthy, 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 worthy of our praise. God is worthy. Turn with me, could you, to Revelation chapter 4. Every time you open Scripture and you see a glimpse of heaven, what do you see? You see worship. See, wherever God is truly revealed, that which is created worships. A revelation of who God is. And this is a picture of what's going on right now. So, Revelation chapter 4. There's all these elders that are living down and are kneeling down, they're throwing everything towards God. And then verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord our God. Who is worthy? The Lord our God. To receive glory and honor and power. Why? Because you created all things, and it is by your will that they were created and that they have their being. Do you know God is the only one worthy of receiving glory, honor, and power? Why? Because the glory, honor, and power will not corrupt him. But glory and honor and power corrupts everything else. God is worthy. Worthy is him who was slain to receive power and strength. Revelation 5. Wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. All of heaven declares that God is worthy. Psalm 145, this great declaration to our souls of who God is. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He's good to all he has compassion on and all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. These great truths, this is the nature and character of God. God is worthy of our praise. And I believe that the Lord is calling the church, this church included, but the church to wake up, to understand who it is that we truly worship. Yes, we come in reverent submission, but you look at heaven. It's an explosion of emotion and of thanksgiving and praise. When God is unveiled to our view, our response is face down. You are worthy. Worship matters because it matters to God, friends. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 5, verse 6. They keep moving Deuteronomy in my Bible, but I do eventually catch up with it. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. This is the second iteration, as it were, of the Ten Commandments. Listen to what the Lord's saying. Remember, guys, this is God speaking. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. What did God do? Brought us out of slavery. Don't ever forget where you've been. Ever forget where you've been. Now, this is difficult, actually, for those who have been a Christian since the cradle. Because sometimes we don't understand the full implications of the sanctifying and saving work of Jesus Christ. I had a terrible time without Jesus. But now I know, and my heart has changed. But for those of us who have lifelong been to church, sometimes that tarnishes. Could I encourage you to imagine what you would be like without Jesus? Allow that to catapult you into praise for what he has done in your life now. God is worthy. You shall have no other gods before me. Why? Why is God saying that? You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven and earth, below the earth, beneath it, and the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Why is God saying that? Because he knows that we're wired for worship and that we will worship something. And he says, don't do it. Just worship me because I am a jealous God. The root of jealousy actually stems from the passion to love. The Lord is not jealous because he's angry. The Lord is jealous because he loves what he's made and knows that you are made to love him. God hates it when we worship other things. So let's wake up. Wake up to worship. Don't worship anything else. Our lives are the invention of God. Do you know that? Your life is the invention of God. He initiated my being and your being. He knows you and me intimately. And when we worship other things, we abandon our destiny in him. We lose our way. God knows that, and he says it matters what you worship. Align your worship right. It's more important than your job, your reputation, your recreation, or your ambition. Worship the Lord. Thirdly, why does worship matter? Because it is love rightly and purely expressed. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Can you do that with me, friends? Matthew 22. Flick on your Googleizer or whatever it is that you look on your phone. Find Matthew 22 for me. And as you're finding that, this question that was being raised by the Pharisee, and in Mark 12 it was raised by a man who was also just asking Jesus about this and said, what's the most important thing? You boil it down. What's the most important thing? And it was all around worship. Now, if you notice that actually all other forms of religious worship, the gods base their worship on fear. God bases the worship of him in love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is love your neighbor. Now, as you know, friends, because you've been very well taught here, that there are four Greek words for love. There's eros, which is close physical love. We won't go too much further. That's where you get the word erotic from. There's philia, which is that... go to my notes, don't go to those. Philia, which is friendship love, but especially like platonic love, love of friends. And then there's a natural affection, storge. I love peanut butter. I've got a natural affection towards peanut butter. I storge peanut butter. It's lovely, especially crunchy. Don't ever get me smooth. But then there's the fourth one, which is agape. Agape is this use of the word, love the Lord your God. Agape the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. This is a love that is divine, unconditional, and pure. It's the highest form of love. It shows that which you love, something that is infinitely precious beyond who you are. And so Jesus says, agape the Lord your God. Now, interestingly, that very same word, that love word that God is using, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, I'll come back to it because I don't want to say it because I'm going to say it in a minute. So let's have a look at this, if I may. By the way, when our worship gets wrong, we will go into another form of love. We will go into one of these when it comes to our worship unless we are righted and our hearts are aligned before God. So, because we search for love. We search for it all the time. It's only truly found and purely found in him. So what did Jesus say in this love God with? What have we got to love God with? Well, first of all, we've got to love God with all our heart. The Greek word there is cardia, from where we get cardiac arrest, which is one thing that I had, which is wonderful. But actually, the word kadi there means the center of our physical and spiritual life. We're going to love God with the very center of our physical and spiritual life. Secondly, God says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. The Greek word there is psyche, where we get psycho from. And that's our personality and our self, our character. So for instance, not wanting to pick on anyone in particular, but Bill. Good morning, Bill. Bill can't worship like Fraser, and Fraser can't worship like Bill. All Jesus wants is us to worship with a sense of personal integrity that costs our character. We're not disengaged and holding back, but we're pushing in with who we are. Thirdly, love the Lord your God with all your mind. Dianoia. It's the place of understanding. Yes, we can say, yes, we understand the scriptures, but if the scriptures only stay in our brain and they don't affect our heart and our life and our choices, it is not any good. Love the Lord with your mind, but then allow the mind to inform your feelings and your desires. That's what understanding should do. Feed your feelings and your desires. I don't feel like worshiping God today. Yes, but I know that he is worthy because the scripture says so. So therefore, I will worship him. That's how the mind works. And then in Mark chapter 12, Jesus says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your strength. Iskus is the word, which means ability, force, and might. And I have to say, the church I see in the world on the whole isn't very strengthening, worshiping, mighting with everything that I've got in my whole being. You see, this is the kind of worship that God is after. This is the kind of worship that he loves. This is the one that he wants, because it is love purely expressed, where you won't get hurt. You see, many of us disengage from worship and engaging our heart because we're afraid that our heart will get hurt, because we've got models of life where we're hurt, and we misunderstand that in the presence of God is healing and fullness of joy. He is worthy. Amen? Ah. You see, but the other thing is, this love, this agape love, this heart, soul, mind, and strength, this love is the very same love of John 3:16. God so agape'd the world. God loves you and me with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. How could we not respond in like? God is worthy. It requires all our faculties and nothing less, a strenuous love. This is the kind of love that Jesus says, this kind of worship that God says is the most pure and most precious to his heart. When we love God this way, we will know truly what love is. Finally, friends, worship matters because it entertains the king and it entertains the kingdom. What do I mean by that? I don't mean not trying to make God happy, but actually it's hosting him. When we entertain the queen, she comes in and she uses our loo and eats our cucumber sandwiches. It's entertaining the king of kings, because when we show our love to him, he is drawn to our love. He can't keep away. The Spirit of God turns up when we start to worship him, because he loves it. It's not that God needs our worship. It's that he deserves it. And it pleases his heart. Because he's looking and going, that's what I made. You see, and when the king comes, he comes with the kingdom. So lives are set free. Broken hearts are restored. Eyes are opened. Lives are changed. It's all seated in worship, friends. It's all seated in worship. The kingdom is based wholly and solely on worship. So, friends, we've learned so far. We're great worshipers. We are. The question is what we're worshiping great? Because what you worship really matters to God. Really, really. Because He is the only one who is truly worthy. Friends, let us speak to our inner person and remind ourselves how great He is. It's not whether or not we play a bum chord or sing a wrong melody line or the tune's not one that you're used to. Our sung worship is an expression of our internal altar. Shall we stand? Lord, we love You. I'm really sorry, Lord, for how I've not worshipped You. Lord, how I've not placed You on the throne. And Lord, many of my friends here, Lord, might feel the same. Lord, we have chosen either through pain, through disillusionment, or maybe even just misdirection, Lord. We've chosen to worship other things. We've not given You everything. And God, we just want to say, You are worthy of all honor and praise and adoration and glory, because, Lord, it does not corrupt You. And Lord, it heals us when we give it to You. So I think the Lord's just highlighting to some of us here some of the altars that we've built, some of the lifestyles that we've created that actually has become normative for us. We've become reasonable in how we've constructed our life. That this is good enough. And I sense the Lord just saying, it's not. You're robbing Me. And I also sense the Lord saying this to you if you're struggling. Don't hold back. Because what I'm going to give you is far more than you're going to give Me. Far more. So Lord, we surrender gloriously to You, our Maker and our Redeemer, for You are worthy, Lord God, of all honor and praise, of all focus and all attention. Lord, when our lives have been misdirected, Lord, realign us, we pray. That You may be glorified in our lives, in our families, in our colleagues, in our friendships. For You are worthy. Worthy is the Lord. Amen.